Thank you, Steve. Well, good evening. It's good to see you here this evening. You appreciate sitting in the bench a lot more when you, after you have to speak, you know. I don't find it easy to speak in front of a crowd, but I'm glad to share the Word of God with you this evening. And I thought maybe we'll just get started with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, and that, Father, we don't have to rely on ourselves, but we just pray, Father, that you would be the one that's honored and glorified here tonight, that as assembly we might be encouraged in your word and go forth into this world that is around us with you on our hearts and in our minds. So we just commit this to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, and we're going to be reading from verse 25. It's a story of the Good Samaritan, and I think we would, most of us, if not all of us, know this story well, but a while ago I was reading through it, through Luke, and I came across this, and some thoughts struck me, and I just thought I would try to share them with you this evening, and what the Lord encouraged my heart with, and hopefully it will bless your heart, and maybe, hopefully, it'll give you a desire to look at this a little more when you get home, or this week, and just could be encouragement. So we'll just start reading here at verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor among him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." So, I just wanted to talk about 4 different individuals that we see here. And to start off with, give you a little bit of just brief background on these 2 cities that are mentioned here. So you got Jerusalem, it's up high, and you got Jericho, it's down below. And there was a trail or a path that would go between them. And it was quite common for a lot of people actually to work in Jerusalem but live in Jericho. Jericho had a nice temperate climate. There was palm trees, and it was a nice place there compared to the weather of Jerusalem. And the road was quite like a rocky, lonely path, and it was common for bandits and stuff to hang out on the path and to assault travelers as they were going by. And so this man is coming from Jerusalem Jerusalem, the name means set ye double peace. The idea of Jerusalem was that it was to be a holy city. It was supposed to be a place where God was worshipped. And even though, as we know the history of it, it wasn't a very peaceful city, that was what the name of it meant. And then you've got Jericho, and that name means a place of fragrance. And it was abounding with honey and cypress, all kinds of different fragrant spices and roses. And it would have been near the Dead Sea there. And the trip would have been probably about 25 to 30 kilometers, and usually would take 8-9 hours for a normal person to walk that path. And the elevation difference would have been about 1,000 meters or so. So that's where this man starts off from, is from Jerusalem. He's headed to Jericho. He's leaving that city of peace in pursuit of the joys and the what he's thinking will be wonderful in Jericho. He's looking forward to something that's comfortable, something that he thinks it will be he can enjoy. And to me, that made me think of how, you know, we can easily leave the things of God, the peace of God, in pursuit of the world. And it looks enticing at first. And so that's where this man was headed. But it didn't take very long for him, as he's headed toward this supposed luxurious life, that things go from bad to worse. And he runs into these robbers. They came and they took everything. And you know, he had already left that place of peace, or that city of peace. He'd lost that. Now he lost his possessions, everything that he owned. He even lost his clothes. They took him all, everything away. And then, after they'd done that, they beat him up, wound him, and leave him there, half dead, leave him to die. Now he's everything he had been pursuing, all he'd been looking forward to, was gone. And he didn't have any hope of helping himself or of making it there. And he was in a pretty bad shape. And I think as you think of him there, you can imagine him lying there on the side of the road, helpless, hopeless. And he's hoping for somebody to come and help him. That's his only hope. He can't help himself. And you can picture him laying there, and he probably looks up and sees this priest coming. This priest is coming from Jerusalem as well. He's going down to Jericho. Maybe he had finished the service in the temple. I'm not quite sure what he was doing, but it was normal for a priest to live in Jericho and work in Jerusalem. There was a lot of priests at that time that lived in Jericho. So this man's laying there, and he sees this priest, and I can imagine that he would have thought in his heart, okay, this is good. The robbers are gone. Here comes a priest. And that priest, as soon as he saw him, goes by all the way around him, as far away as he can get from this wounded man, goes around him and keeps on going. And then a Levite comes. Levite comes and looks at him, but again goes as far away as he can and takes off. And you know, I don't know where your hearts are at, where each of you are at, the people that are listening. But if any of you are in that place where that man was, you know, feeling hopeless, feeling like the dreams that you've pursued have been taken away. If you look to man, you're going to be disappointed. There's nothing that man can do. Nothing this world can do. It will all fade and perish away. And you might be at that place that you're feeling like that man half dead. only God can help you. And you know what? The Savior, he delights, just like this Good Samaritan that we'll talk about in a minute. That's why the Lord Jesus came. And that's what he wants to do, is to help you and to reach you in that place. And he's the Savior of sinners. And God offers you peace, the peace that man left. That's the peace that God offers to our hearts and to our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that you need to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I think there's a couple of verses that, there's a lot of things that, as I was thinking about these characters in this story, that you could relate to different people and pictures of others. But there's one verse I just will mention about this man. In Isaiah it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and they all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And that's what happened to that man. Sin's going to take you. It will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll make you pay more than you want to pay, and hold you longer than you want to stay. And that's exactly what happened to this man. He didn't have any of that peace because he had left it alone. And everything he had pursued, he found was fleeting and vain. So, to mention the priest, this was a man who should have been known for God's love and sharing who God was with the people. And he should have known God's compassion and love for the people that are around. Clearly, the priest realized that the man needed help. He saw him there. He recognized the man was helpless. Probably realized this guy was going to die without any help. But the priest didn't even try to help. He chose to completely ignore everything, the whole situation, and just hurry on home. I don't know what his situation, why the priest, we aren't told what he was thinking, but, you know, maybe he had family at home and he thought, well, if I keep going, I'll be home in time for supper. If I stop, my wife's going to wonder what happened. I don't know. But he chose to just let that man lay there. His own personal agenda to him was more important than the life of that man. The Levite wasn't really any better. He also came along, and he got as far as to actually go over and walk over and take a look at this guy and see that he's in really bad shape, rough shape here. And as soon as he's done that, he goes around and gets out of there. And they both responded really in much the same way. Their own personal desires and goals and what they thought they wanted to do was more important than somebody else. And, you know, that can creep into our hearts. For the Israelites, this was something that probably, a story that had probably recently happened, and these men would have been familiar with that road and been thinking about it. And of course, Jesus was pointing out a picture of the law being unable to do, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Of course, that's what the situation was. The law couldn't help them. But there's a Samaritan, and he comes along. And the Samaritan, he's one that's despised by the Jewish people. He was looked down on. And if the Jews had seen a Samaritan lying on the side of the road, they wouldn't have thought anything of him. He was doesn't need any help. He's a Samaritan. They were happy to see them in plight. But they should have at least helped their own people, you know. But they didn't. But the Samaritan, he's traveling along, and he was possibly a merchant man. I don't know. It doesn't quite say. But he's traveling along, and he comes across this guy. And it's interesting to see the attitudes of his heart. He didn't condemn this man or mock him or say, well, serves you right. You left Jerusalem. You left the peace that you could have had, and you were pursuing the treasures of this life, and well, you got robbed and should have known better. Shouldn't have gone traveling on your own like this. There wasn't condemnation in that Samaritan. Didn't mock him for being a Jew, and the fact that he was a Samaritan, he didn't despise him for being a Jew. And despite that, had it been in the opposite situation, that Jew would have probably despised the Samaritan. But he goes over to this man. He went to where he was. He didn't just look at this guy. He actually goes over to him. And he didn't say, oh, come over here. I'll help you out. He didn't say, I'll go over and call the paramedics. Or when I get to the next inn, I'll send somebody back for you. He actually went over to this guy. It involved a physical response, not just a pity in his heart that he felt bad about this guy. He actually did something. He put it into actions. He wasn't too busy in everything that was going on in his life. And, you know, this is a long trip, 8 hours walking. He's got a donkey here, too, so he's got a load. You know, if he stops, helps this guy, he's got to bring him to an inn. It's going to take some time. This is going to slow his whole progress down. He's not too busy. He stops. And it reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 14, or Hebrews 2, verses 14. Maybe your mind's already going there. But it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came and was made like us and lived among us. And he wasn't ashamed to call us brethren. That Samaritan, he didn't look at this guy and say, oh, I think he's too far gone. I'm not a doctor. I really don't practice medicine. I probably can't help this guy anyway. I'll just leave him there. You know, sometimes I think we do that spiritually with people. We see people and we think, that's a bad situation they're in. Only the Lord can work in their hearts. I guess I'll leave that for him to work on it. And we kind of go on our way. But this Samaritan doesn't waste any time. He gets over there right away and doesn't care what this man's thinking. Obviously, he knows this man can't pay him back. There's the guy's laying there. His clothes are gone. He's naked, totally helpless. He's dying. He might even die on the road. So this guy can't pay him back. He's not looking for any sort of payment or anything from this guy. He's just there to help him. He cared. He really cared about this guy. And says he had compassion on him and took care of him. That's how Jesus says about him. It actually says twice that he took care of him. And that involves for us that we put effort into it. To care for somebody means, you know, that we're actually giving of ourselves and sharing with them, giving them what they need and helping them out. So he bound up the wounded man, takes care of this guy's wounds, helps him as best he can with what he has, And then he brings him to an inn where he knows he can get even better care. And even when he's there, he doesn't just leave this guy at the inn. He does what he can and to provide ongoing care for this guy. And then he tells, you know what, when I come back, I'm going to pay for any expenses that have been incurred because of this guy. And, you know, that was really what the Lord Jesus has done for us in so many ways. And so all three of these men that passed by and saw this wounded guy, they all came across the same situation. They all had the opportunity, but only one actually put into action and helped this dying man. A couple of verses that stood out to me about this Samaritan. Isaiah again, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And then maybe I'll read the verses from Hebrews. It says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So the application is where I want to leave this with you, to think about this. Who is my neighbor? And are you willing to help them, whatever it costs you? Is your heart, my heart, too stuck up with religion and with what we've, the status that we want to portray and the things that we are busy with, work, and what's going on in our lives to actually care about the people that really need help? How often have you, have I, passed by those people that are spiritually, they're naked, they're dying, they're half dead, they're needing help? And others are passing them by, and it's easy just to keep on going and, you know, be too busy, not even think about it. That's keep on going as far away out of their way as we can. You know, those people that really stand out as needing a Savior, sometimes they're not pretty. Their lives aren't very pretty at all. And that guy laying on the side of the road with no clothes and bloody, beaten up, he would have looked pretty rough. He wouldn't have looked attractive to come and help. There's lots of reasons why, naturally speaking, you wouldn't want to get involved, you know. There might be, the robbers might still be there. It's going to mean you're going to get this blood and dirt from this guy on your clothes. You know, all those things. I think it's easy to do the same thing in our spiritualize with people that we run across. You know, our world is in rough shape. There's a lot of people out there hurting, dying. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come for those that are, he came for all But he came to those that are needing and longing for help and looking for help. You know, Paul, we often think of him as being a good example of how the Lord can work in someone's life. And Paul wasn't afraid of what trials would come. He said in Acts, he said, "And now, behold, I go in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Do we hold ourselves and our lives dear to ourselves, more dear than those that are around that are dying? You know, I often find it's easy to just keep on going with what our lives have, with the busyness, and not really even to take the time to stop and think about where these people are headed. They're going to hell. And that's what's happening. And only, of course, only God can change their hearts. But sometimes we're there. Maybe we're that one that's traveling on the road that could reach out and help them. And as I was looking at this, I was reading some other things, and I noticed, I've noticed it before, but it stood out to me again, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given in Matthew there. It brings out four different women that were involved. And of these four women, two were harlots, one was an adulterer, two of them were Gentiles. None of those women should have been there. You know, they should have been put to death for the things they did, or rejected outside of the Israel, the people of Israel. But you know what? Shows us that God cares about those down and outers. He's there to reach out to those that are despised and rejected. And those women didn't get there because of what they did, because of their own works. It's because of God's mercy and God's grace and his tender heart and love. And that's really, as I was reading that, that was something that really touched my heart, was how much God cares about sinners, that his desire and his love for mankind, that no one's too bad a shape for him. He cares and he loves. And we ought to have that heart of love and care for one another. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what the Lord Jesus said as he was reading from the Old Testament there, but that was his heart, to reach the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, them that are bruised. You start reading through Luke, talks about, again, the Mary who came weeping and washing Jesus' feet. What was the rebuke? Well, if Jesus knew what this kind of woman this was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. But Jesus knew. He did know what that woman was. He knew way better than anybody else what her heart was. And he loved her and cared for her. And he forgave her of her sin. Same with that man that was called Legion. He couldn't find any help from man. In fact, he was so useless to society, they tried to chain him up and lock him away. That didn't work. He tore those chains off and went off and lived on his own in caves. And Jesus went out just to find that man and to bring deliverance to that man. And you know, it changed his life. It really did. And often we are kind of sitting here hoping, well, maybe somebody will come into our meeting and we can share the gospel with them. But we don't take the time to actually go out and find them where they're at. I know I'm guilty of that. It's, you know, you can, sometimes you're driving by and you see those people, homeless, helpless people that are sitting there on the bench. They have nothing to do. You think, well, yeah, they, you see that their life is not going anywhere. And you know what? Can be too busy to help those people. And they don't just need physical help. They need the gospel. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can change their lives. And I just, that was a challenge to me. And I want to challenge you with that. The scribes and Pharisees, they were there. This lawyer, when he came to Jesus, you know what? When he asked that question, who's my neighbor? You know what his thought behind that was? What his goal was? It was to justify himself. Because he thought he was pretty good. He thought what he was doing was going all right. And I know I justify myself sometimes. Stand there and think, okay, I'm doing okay. And I've got other responsibilities. But maybe that's a challenge that the Lord's laid on your heart. I don't know. But if you find that you're trying to justify yourself in your actions rather than, as a Samaritan, taking of everything that you have and giving it to help, you know, just look at the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has given. He gave his own life. And that's why we're here today. It's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And so those are just some of the thoughts that I had. And I think I'll close with that. Maybe we could sing a song yet. 310. In tenderness, he sought me.